At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Warmer Philly, hello, welcome to the lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Got a great podcast for you. We go in our second segment to the great city of Chicago, Illinois. That's where we find Kevin Sweeney. He does absolutely amazing work over there with his own podcast, the ZBB Central Podcast, which you're able to find wherever you get this fine podcast, along with Sports Illustrated. He was live at the NBA Draft Combine last week, so I'm going to ask him just about what he wound up gathering in general, guys that might be a little bit more, a little bit less likely to stay in the draft, guys that have hurt their stock, guys that have helped their stock, where some of these guys stand with regards to the big decisions, and a few guys that might wind up deciding to pull out of the NBA Draft and go into the transfer portal as well. So we've got a lot to discuss there with Kevin in the second segment. And after I wound up doing the interview with Kevin, all the big names from the Big 12 that were in the transfer portal decided where they were going to be going. And one of those guys is going to be staying out there in the Big 12, including the guy that I thought was the biggest transfer portal piece still out there. So in the final segment, didn't necessarily see a ton of moves on Friday, but we saw some big ticket moves. I'm going to give you guys my thoughts on those. We're going to give you guys a little bit of a recap as to everything that we wound up seeing in college basketball on Friday, and a pair of teams wound up getting big bummer transfers. So that is going to be a lot of fun to be able to break that down. And if you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at GUnit_81. Keep in mind, letters M, that means does not matter. So as per usual, please just send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast. Via that 5-star review, really did not get in a lot of questions other than what the big transfers meant to the teams that wanted getting them. And have no fear, I'm going to have my full thoughts on that in the final segment. But coming up next, we go out to the great state of Illinois and chat with our good friend Kevin Sweeney about what we could be seeing in the transfer portal in the coming days and guys with big NBA draft decisions. That's up next right here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now a part of the VSiN Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you, something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you, something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you, something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Eve Spears, and now part of the VSiN Family of Podcasts. It is always a pleasure when we get this gentleman on, as Kevin Sweeney is doing absolutely terrific work over there at Sports Illustrated. He is doing a nice job holding it down there. Also does quite a bit of the newsletter work over there at Sports Illustrated as well. Someone that does a terrific job of being able to take a look at the game of college basketball all 12 months out of the year. And this is someone that, while the NBA Draft Combine was going out there last week, he had a front row seat to it all, and we're going to be discussing that here on this interview. As to be able to follow Kevin Sweeney on Twitter, that is at @CBB_Central, all together. And Kevin, great to have you aboard. Thank you.
Greg, thanks as always for having me. Good to chat.
It is great to have you aboard. And Kevin, just wound up alluding to it, to the fact that you were at the Combine last weekend. With regards to guys that wound up helping slash hurting themselves with what you wound up seeing last week, who are a few that wind up standing out to you? Because I'm able to read all these guys, just the measurables themselves, and then obviously you do wind up having these scrimmages, the pickup games that a lot of guys are privy to, and we did wind up seeing more and more guys wind up sitting out of that. That's a discussion for another day. But that said, with regards to what you wound up seeing last week, who are a few guys that you feel like really helped slash hurt themselves over the last week or so?
It's hard to say too many guys really hurt themselves too substantially. I mean, look, you're probably putting 45 minutes of game tape on film and you just played a full season. You know, I think, you know, there's certain guys you can explain away struggles and this and that. I thought, you know, someone like David Roddy from Colorado State didn't play particularly well. I didn't think it was a great setting for him to play well because teammates you're unfamiliar with, he's not a guy that you're just going to hand the ball and he's going to go to work. He needs to play in the construct of a system. And I think it's hard when you're playing essentially a pickup game for him to thrive in that setting. But I think, you know, someone like him comes into the combine looking for a reason to stay in, right? Looking for a reason to be a first round, looking for a guarantee to be a first round pick. Okay, now my decision's made. I don't think that came from this. I think if anything, his stock probably dropped a couple of spots because teams saw him struggle as against NBA level athletes. So you know, he'd be a guy that I maybe said stock dropped a little bit. I thought the NC State guys, Terquavion Smith and Darian Sebron, were probably two of the better players on the floor, particularly Smith. I thought in the first game, he sat out day two, but his first game was really, really solid. And I think he solidified himself as a first-round pick contender and a guy who does not need to come back to college. We'll see if either of those guys do wind up coming back, but I thought both of them showed well and have a chance to get drafted, and you know, certainly that would be a big blow to NC State.
Yeah, and if NC State does not wind up getting those two guys back, they're probably going to be looking at the bottom of the ACC, and I really feel like for Kevin Keats, this is a put-up-or-shut-up year. Many people thought last year was probably that for him, so this year it's certainly that for him, so that would be certainly setting them behind the eight ball a little bit. And I do think that it's going to be really interesting to take a look at another star guy that was at the combine. And the measurables, they weren't great. That'd be Pat Baldwin Jr., because I just still find him to be one of the biggest X factors with regards to what we might wind up getting in both the NBA draft and the college basketball season as well, because he put himself in the transfer portal if he winds up coming back to college. I think we can both agree the odds of him going to UNLV-Milwaukee are about as close to zero as you could get. I probably have a better chance of winning People Magazine's Sexiest Man of the Year award than having Pat Baldwin Jr. go back to UNLV-Milwaukee because his dad wound up getting canned. But I mean, it was a cataclysmically bad year for him at UNLV-Milwaukee. He wound up having, I believe it was like the fourth worst vertical in the history of the NBA draft combine. Really didn't wind up putting on a lot of great tape. And I find him to be so interesting because this guy's stock has just dropped so far. If he winds up going back to college, he's going to have his pick of where he wants to go with regards to that, maybe be able to build back up that stock. But he also runs the risk of, if he winds up going back to school, his stock dropping even more. So I take a look at him as a very curious case right now.
Yeah, personally, I'd be really surprised if he went back to college. His stock is still good enough. There's still enough teams in NBA that want to roll the dice on a 6'10 guy, a great length, who can handle the ball and who can really, really shoot it. I know the numbers weren't great this year, but I think we can both agree, Greg, that it certainly wasn't the best setting for him to succeed. No. The talent around him, not very good. There's still a very good chance he's a top 20 pick in this draft. And any guy who's a top 20 pick, there's really not a lot of upside in going back to school. I think for him, it'd be more risk. Obviously, like, I think he put his name in the portal because of the idea, okay, what happens if my feedback drops? I'm now going to be a second round pick. Things get shaky. But at this point, you know, from what I've heard, I'd be stunned if Pat Baldwin Jr. doesn't stay in the draft.
Yeah, it certainly has been interesting to take a look at that because he did wind up putting his name in the portal. But I'd be a little bit surprised if he comes back as well. But hey, I mean, Duke was in on him. If he winds up going out of the NBA draft, there's going to be no shortage of teams that they, too, would love to roll the dice on Pat Baldwin Jr. As we do have Kevin Sweeney of CBB Central joining me on the podcast, and I alluded to it a little bit earlier. We did wind up seeing quite a few guys wind up not partaking in regards to a lot of these scrimmages as well with regards to the NBA draft combine. A lot of the guys are more fringe guys. They certainly were taking place. You mentioned the NC State guys. They look very impressive in those. Why do you think we've seen such a drop with regards to guys taking part in these scrimmages? Because typically it is one of the better ways of being able to gauge a guy. And I think a lot of it has to do with just being able to get promises prior to the NBA draft combine. Am I off base here? Is there something else, or is it really just that promises have grown more and more with a lot of these guys that they might be a little bit more on the fringe of being a first or second round pick and team-wise contacting them a few days before the combine?
I'd caution in using the word promise. I think, you know, for the number of guys who sat out who are in that like late first, early second range, there's no chance that all of them would have promises. And I can confirm a few of those names that, you know, kind of got thrown out, guys like Justin Lewis and, you know, the guys who jumped out. The guys didn't have promises on the day, but there's a whole host of reasons, all of which I think stem from the biggest thing that NBA teams haven't punished players, right? Like, guys who have sat out at the combine have not seen their stock drop. I think the whole idea or the concern would be, you know, do I look not competitive for not playing? But that hasn't been the case. So, you know, if you don't have a ton to gain, if you're comfortable with where your stock is, and in some cases, if you like kind of keeping yourself a mystery, there's real upside to sitting out because you're not losing a ton and you may not gain very much. You might hurt yourself if you play. So that's part of it. Like I said, I mean, there's minor injuries. Obviously, you're not 100%. You don't want to be playing in one of these events because you're being, you know, scouted with a fine-tooth comb. I know there were guys coming off of COVID who were not in full conditioning. That was a factor in some of those guys sitting out. So it's not one thing, but I think the, you know, consensus is generally guys who are sitting out feel relatively good about where their stock is. That doesn't mean they're going to stay in, you know, guaranteed, but they don't feel like they'll gain enough from playing to justify the risk, especially if they're not at 100%.
Yep. I think that that is something that is so interesting to take a look at, because if you just do the math of the amount of guys that wound up not partaking in regards to the scrimmages, there aren't enough promises to be given out for all these guys to have promises, at the very least rock solid promises, to why I'm doing so. So I was very curious about that. And what else I'm curious about is a team that I feel like has a lot to gain slash lose with regards to these next few days, and that'd be Michigan, because I take a look at everything with regards to the Big Ten, and I feel like it's going to be a little bit of a down year this year for the Big Ten. A lot of people are saying that Indiana might be the best team in the conference, and I think that Indiana is going to be rock solid, but I feel like Michigan, if they wind up getting back both Caleb Houston and Musa Diabate, that has a chance to be the best team out there in the conference. Do I think they wind up getting both guys back? No, but I do think that if they even wind up getting back one out of those two, it's going to put them in very good position. So I take a look at Michigan, and I think that they're one of the more, I think that they're one of the more interested spectators with regards to what winds up happening with regards to these NBA draft decisions right now.
No question. It feels like Caleb Houston's good as gone. You know, his process has been very quiet. You know, he waited till the last second to put his name in the draft in the first place, and then, you know, gets a combine invite, turns it down, which tends to imply he has a promise. If you're a fringe draft pick and you turn down a combine invite, you either have a promise or you're going back to school, and I'm pretty sure Caleb Houston's going back to school. So he may, in fact, have a promise. And then Diabate, you know, he struggled game one. He played at the combine. Game two, he played very well. And I think I would personally be a little bit surprised if Diabate went back to school. I think it's a little bit more 50-50 than what Caleb's decision is. But he's going to play the five in the NBA. He's not going to play the five next year. What am I gaining from being at Michigan versus playing the G League? I'm just not sure there is much. He's not going to make more money. You know, I believe he's international, so he can't even get NIL. So that's another, you know, kind of mitigating factor there. But I would be surprised if Musa came back. I still think Michigan will be in good shape. Obviously, I think Jet Howard will help them quite a bit. Obviously, having Hunter Dickinson is huge. He's one of the best players in the sport. But I do doubt that they're going to get either of those guys back.
Yeah, I do think that that would be a little bit tough for them. Having both of the Howard brothers over there at Michigan, that's certainly going to be able to help them out. And in the transfer portal, they were able to get a nice little addition as well. Jalen Llewellyn coming over from Princeton, that is going to be able to help them out as well. But certainly you could wind up using either one of those guys. Obviously, both would be terrific for them. I think that it would be a pipe dream to be able to get back both Houston and Diabate, but I'm sure that they would settle for either one if that does wind up being the case, as we do have Kevin Sweeney of the CBB Central podcast, coupled with Sports Illustrated, joining me right here on the podcast. And when it comes down to it, Kevin, there are quite a few other guys that wind up having big NBA draft decisions. One that I've talked about a lot is Dalen Terry on this podcast, just because he was really that master of none last year at Arizona, but a guy that did a little bit of everything. And if he winds up turning this year, he's going to be one of the focal points of that team. So I certainly think that there is a lot riding with regards to Arizona stock for this upcoming season with regards to draft decisions, or a few other teams that they are really hoping that a guy that's on the borderline winds up coming back for them, because there are a few right now. And I feel like this year's draft, it just has a little bit more mystery than what we've seen in the last few years. We're a few teams that you feel like they've got a lot to gain slash lose with regards to the decisions that wind up getting made in the next few days.
Yeah, I mean, Arizona's a big one with Dalen Terry, a guy who I think when the season ended, you would have said, yeah, maybe he's a two-way guy, maybe he's a second-round pick, and you know, his stock has just continued to rise. Like when you put on the tape and you realize how he impacts the game and you talk to him and the way he, you know, cerebrally understands the game, the energy he brings, I think he's made a lot of fans in NBA circles, and I wouldn't be surprised at this point if he's a first-round pick, and if he's a first-round pick, he's going to stay in the draft. Colorado State with David Roddy, that's a big swing. That's probably a, you know, 30, 40, maybe even 50-spot KenPom swing, you know, between, you know, a guy who's potential preseason All-American, a guy who makes you a top 25 team, pairing with Isaiah Stevens, to, you know, having Stevens and Josiah Strong and some of these guys, but, you know, not really having the juice to be an at-large team. So that's a relatively huge swing to watch. Obviously, the two Gonzaga guys with Julian Strother and Drew Timmy, yeah, I think you probably feel okay that those guys are going to come back, but not done yet. That's certainly a decision worth watching. And now Kansas, particularly now that Christian Brown has stayed in the draft, the Jalen Wilson decision looms, because otherwise this is a pretty young team. I mean, obviously, Kevin McCullough helps you get a little bit older, but you know, if you have to replace the scoring of not just Agbaji, not just Brown, but also Jalen Wilson and David McCormick, I mean, it would be a complete reset. They're already thin at the five. Their point guard position, you know, DeJuan Harris is very, very good, but He's not a 12, 13, 14 point a game scorer. He is what he is defensively and, toughness and passing. So you need guys who can score on the wing. Kevin McCullough is not a, 15, 16 point a game guy. So they need someone who can go get a shot. And I think the hope would be that that's Jalen Wilson, but he had a good week. I mean, he played well at the G League camp, got the call up to the main combine, played well in the scrimmages there. So he's a guy who I think has a chance to get drafted. Once you get into that conversation, it becomes pretty 50-50 whether he should come back or not.
Yep, and Kevin McCullough going over to Kansas, that no doubt winds up helping them out because he's pretty much the replacement for Christian Brown. And Brown, it was announced a couple days ago that he is indeed going to be staying in the draft. I believe that he wound up signing with an agent, so he's as good as gone. But certainly with Kansas, you would love to see them be able to come out well with regards to these draft decisions because it's going to be, once again, a very, very loaded Big 12 with all the moves that they have been making. And with regards to guys that they don't necessarily have a set school as to what they'd be returning to, there are a few out there as well. Like, I take a look at Malachi Smith. I don't think it's likely that he winds up staying in the NBA draft. I think that he's coming back to school along with AJ Green, but these are guys that they have already committed to putting their name into the transfer portal. I think that their decisions are big. Are there any other guys with regards to having their name in the NBA draft that have yet to withdraw that could wind up going into the portal and could cause a big shakeup?
At this point, I'd be surprised if there's anyone who puts their name in who hasn't already done so. I think the guys who were going to, kind of keep their options open, they already did that ahead of the May 1st deadline, not to roll the dice with anything. Obviously, I think there's a good chance for waivers for guys, but I think the names you're looking at are, like you mentioned, Malachi Smith, AJ Green, Pete Nance is a big one to watch from Northwestern, one of the best players, I think, in the portal. Probably a 50-50 stay or go decision. Muhammad Gay is one to watch from Washington State. I mean, the physical tools are immense, and he had a really productive freshman year. So it's basically like getting a five-star recruit in that, maybe it's not all proven, but the upside's there, and he's, got a year under his belt. So he's a guy that I think will be sought after by, some of the programs that need a front court help. So those are guys that stand out in my brain. I mean, honestly, even like Sharif O'Neal, I know the numbers have never popped out in high major basketball, but he was solid in the two games of the G League camp. I mean, he's athletic and energetic and, plays really hard and was good on the glass. And I think given the way we've seen the front court market develop, and there's just been such a lack of guys who are available to help out teams up front, if Sharif comes back to school, I would take a shot. Again, maybe he isn't healthy. That's really been the problem his whole career. But I think you get a healthy Sharif O'Neal for 30 games. He's a youthful rotation big man up front.
Right there with you. I feel like he is someone that, given the right situation, is going to be able to flourish. And to your point about Pete Nance, if he played at somewhere not named Northwestern, there would be so much more buzz around
Hey, come on now. Come on. Be nice.
I'm sorry. I know that you're a Northwestern graduate, but here's a case in which the team around him just did him absolutely no good. A guy that's able to pop threes at a north of 40% clip, being right around 6'9", 6'10", is able to give you a block per game, is able to give you all those rebounds. There should be more buzz around a guy like Pete Nance than there is, but unfortunately, it's not the school itself. It's more, let's see, coaching staff that did not wind up doing the world's greatest job of being able to put much around him.
So, that's its own podcast, Greg. That's its own podcast.
Yep, I know that you would certainly have your thoughts there. And, well, I know that you do a great job of being able to air out your thoughts with regards to college basketball. You do a good job of not completely throwing your university under the bus. But with that said, you do an absolutely terrific job over there at Sports Illustrated. I know that you're doing their college basketball coverage and doing a great job of it. And on top of that, this time of year, I know that you do quite a bit with regards to their newsletter work as well. You take a look at a wide variety of things. So let the good people know what's all on tap for you and how people are able to follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, absolutely. At @CBB_Central for me on Twitter. I just wrote a article about all the stay or go decisions. So kind of look forward to that. And then obviously check that out. And obviously when June 1st comes around, we'll have things like winners and losers of, the spring basically, as well as an updated top 25 that doesn't just feel like throwing darts at a wall. So that'll be fun.
Yep. And right now, if you're trying to do it without these NBA draft decisions, it certainly is very questionable to say the least, especially with a team like Arkansas. I would argue that if Jalen Wilson winds up coming back, you've got to have them somewhere in your top three. If he doesn't wind up coming back, Arkansas is still going to be terrific, but does wind up making things a little bit more murky there. Obviously, Houston with Marcus Sasser, list goes on and on. So we're going to be getting a lot more answers in the next few days. And Kevin, He does a great job of just taking a look at the game of college basketball and doing a great job over there at Sports Illustrated as well. Big thanks to him for joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VSIN Family Podcast. And coming up next, it is that time of the podcast to give you a little bit of a roundup as to all the news and notes that we wind up seeing in college basketball on Friday.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Craig Hoops Spears, and now part of the VSIN Family Podcast. A big thanks to Kevin Sweeney. He does an absolutely amazing job taking a look at college basketball for Sports Illustrated, a man that was at the NBA Combine last week, did a great job covering that and really brought the goods on this podcast today. So a big thanks to him for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast to give you a little bit of a recap as to all the news and notes that we wound up seeing in college basketball on Friday. And we recorded that podcast a little bit earlier, and then we wound up having an avalanche of news come through as you wound up seeing two guys that were out there in the Big 12 last season decide on their new stomping grounds. Matthew Meyer, many thought he was going to be going to North Carolina. Instead, he is going to be heading to Illinois, and for Illinois, going to be very interesting to see what they wind up getting this season as they bring in a guy in Meyer who this last year, a little bit disappointing for him, right around 9.8 points per game. He did wind up shooting from three-point range right around 32.5% from three after in a little bit of a lesser role on that title team, shot closer to 40% from three. But what I will say about Meyer is that towards back half of the season, he was really able to pick up a little bit of fire. Final 18 games of the season, had more like 11 points, 5 rebounds per game, 3-point shooting percentage. That was more around 34.5% from 3 at 6'9". These guys just do not wind up growing on trees in general. And you take a look at how things are shaping up for Illinois. They wind up bringing in TJ Shannon as well. So he is going to be a big part of that team. What I think is going to be the X factors is some of these guys are going to be coming in via recruiting, as you've got RJ Melendez, who is a top 100 recruit that they are really going to be banking on to be able to deliver some good contributions. After last year, he was really glued to the bench, so they are going to need a little bit more out of him. And then with regards to what they're bringing in this year, with regards to the class of 2022, Sky Clark, ranked 30th nationally by 247 Sports, Ty Rogers, a little bit of a 6'6" combo player that figures to get some starts, and I would not be surprised if you wind up seeing a little bit out of Jaden Epps as well. It's going to be interesting to see how they wind up balancing those minutes, but Meyer certainly gives this team a little bit of a stretchable big man. And what I do like about Brad Underwood is that he's always shown a willingness to be able to adapt to his team. You may recall when he wound up going to Illinois, that Stephen F. Austin style of just getting a whole bunch of seals is what they wound up running. When they wound up having Kofi Coburn, they went much more slow. They went a little bit more pack line, not necessarily full pack line, but sort of an abbreviated version of it. So you got to figure that this is going to be a different looking Illinois team than it was a season ago. I do think that this is a bunch that is going to be towards the top of the Big Ten. I'm not going to be putting them in front of Indiana, and with Michigan, it's TBD because they've got a couple draft decisions to make. I probably wouldn't be putting them ahead of them as well, but in a down Big Ten, I do think that Illinois still going to be very relevant out there. Matthew Meyer, one of the better pickups of this entire transfer portal period, and I think that he's going to be able to come in and he's going to be able to do a very solid job for them. You did also wind up seeing Texas wind up getting a big giant land as Tyrese Hunter has decided that he is going to be going to Texas. And with Texas, I just don't know how the pieces are going to be fitting together, because now you've got Marcus Carr out there, who is very much a guy that needs the ball in his hands. Tyrese Hunter was a point guard at Iowa State, and with Tyrese Hunter, you're not bringing him in to shoot threes. This guy shot right around 24% from three-point range last season, but an absolutely terrific defender, someone that does a great job of being able to dole out the ball, a little bit over 4.5 assists per game last season, actually closer to 5 assists per game, able to rebound. Marcus Carr is going to need to play off the ball. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. What he's going to be able to do in a little bit more of a, shall we say, scoring role is really going to dictate how this Texas team winds up being able to play this upcoming season. And Chris Beard now has an embarrassment of riches, because you've got Dylan Disu, who's going to be back in the fold for this team. They wind up bringing in Dylan Mitchell, who's a top 10 recruit as well. Sir Jabari Rice wound up coming in via New Mexico State. You also have Jimmy Allen, who was just a 6'6", do a little bit of everything guy, double-digit amount of points, 6 rebounds per game. Christian Bishop is someone that I honestly felt should have gotten a few more minutes, but it's just going to be interesting to see how these pieces blend together, because if Texas is able to find the right blend, and if these guys are able to peak, this is one of the best teams in all of college basketball. If these guys aren't able to wind up coming together, it could be very similar to what we wound up seeing last season. I think that we're probably going to get something in the middle. I don't think that this is going to be what we wound up seeing out of Texas last season, where the team towards back half of the season, they were falling outside the top 25. I also don't think that this is necessarily going to be like a top 5 team or anything like that, but I do think that Texas being able to get a guy in Tyrese Hunter that was, in my opinion, the best remaining transfer out there in the portal, that is going to be able to really help them out. Just a big question now of Marcus Carr, and it all goes back to it, because I felt like Texas actually shot themselves in the foot by bringing in Marcus Carr. I felt like Marcus Carr hurt himself by going to Texas. I just don't know how this marriage is going to be working out, and now you wind up bringing in another guard. If Marcus Carr plays off the ball very well, look out for Texas. If he does not accept his role, this could wind up getting interesting. So, got a lot of thoughts there. We're going to find out a little bit more about this team throughout the summertime. So, that is going to be a fun one to take a look at. Jacksonville State, they are going to be bringing in Arda Dukarl. Hopefully, I'm saying that one correctly. Dur Arklar. That is one of the two I think might be correct, but according to Jeff Goodman, he is going to be coming in after he was playing out there for the under-18 team of Turkey. He's a 6'11" gentleman, just wound up turning 18 years old, has a little bit of versatility in his game. Going to be interesting to see how he winds up playing at Jacksonville State. Jacksonville State, one of the best three-point shooting teams in all of college basketball last season. If he's able to be a stretch player for the team, and if he's able to make a contribution, Jacksonville State, I think, could be in for a very solid year after they very nearly wound up making the NCAA tournament out there while they were with the Atlantic Sun last year. So that is a piece of news I think might be going under the radar, but could be big for that program. Hunter Maldonado, this is big for Wyoming. He is going to be coming back to them. And with Hunter Maldonado, I think the big key for this Wyoming team is probably getting the ball out of his hands a little bit more, because we just wound up seeing it in that NCAA tournament game against Indiana, where he wound up having more turnovers than Sarah Lee's Bakery. But this is a man that last season, while he was at Wyoming, was terrific with regards to his usage and the way that he was able to maneuver in that offense. 18.5 points, 5.7 boards, 6 assists per game. Now, played a little bit better at home than he did on the road, but that's just going to happen when you wind up having a home court advantage like Wyoming that is at elevation. But you take a look at this Cowboys team, and they've been able to do a tremendous job here in the offseason of being able to bring in a little bit of talent as well. And by a little bit of talent, I mean they are bringing in 3 guys from not only the Pac-12, but the city of Los Angeles, as well as Jake Hyman, who just didn't wind up seeing the floor very much while he was at UCLA, but is able to be a little bit of a combo player. He's going to be coming into the fold. And then you've got the pair of guys from USC in Ethan Anderson, someone that should be able to take quite a bit of the pressure off of Maldonado. I think that he's going to be a little bit more of a pass-first guy for this Wyoming team. Not a guy that necessarily puts a ball up a lot, but a very good glue guy. And then Max Okapolo, who's been able to do a solid job throughout his career of just being able to give the team what they need. Not necessarily the master of one thing, but 7.5 points, 3.5 rebounds as a part-time starter with USC this last season. 3-point shooting, not necessarily there with him, but is able to be a relatively solid defender in his own right. 6'8", little bit of a combo player that was a former top 75 recruit. This is a Wyoming team in which the arrow is certainly trending upward with them, and I do think that this is going to be another very solid year for them, and this is going to be a big reason why. So, very good on them for being able to get back Hunter Maldonado. That is a big piece for them. You did wind up seeing a few guys wind up going from the D1 level to the non-D1 level as Brian Utrecht Jr. He last season was playing at Detroit, just did not wind up seeing a lot of playing time whatsoever. Wound up getting 11 points in the one game that he wound up playing, but still, they were hoping for a little bit more out of him. He has decided that he is going to be playing for Slippery Rock. That is a very fun university, but this is very easy for you to handicap. All you need to note is that our good friend, Mr. Utrecht, he was at the D1 level. He is now going to be at the non-D1 level. Just cross him off your list of guys that you need to be able to evaluate, and then you're able to move on from there. We did wind up seeing Jordan Burge. He last season was playing at Toledo. He has decided that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal. He really didn't wind up doing a lot of anything either, so that's nice, clean, and easy with regards to being able to take a look at that as well. But we did wind up seeing Kellen Amos stay out there in the northeast part of the country. He was playing at Binghamton last season. Binghamton in the offseason, they did wind up undergoing a little bit of a coaching move, and decided that he's going to be going to Central Connecticut State. And Pat Sellers actually doing a relatively solid job with Central Connecticut State. They're getting a guy named Amos that wound up having 6.5 points per contest. Not a guy that wound up lighting the world on fire, but shot right around 33% from 3-point range. Was able to warrant right around 14 or so minutes per game. 6'6", a little bit of a combo player that could be exactly what Central Connecticut State needs. Now, Central Connecticut State, they really need a little bit more of a primary scorer. They just haven't had that in such a long time. A guy that's able to take the top off of a defense, but you do take a look at Central Connecticut's eight, and all of a sudden, pieces are starting to come in for this team. I feel like Patrick Sellers has been able to do a solid job of being able to build a little bit of excitement around this team. Brody Limerick, he's a 6'9", a more true big man. He's going to be coming in from Quinnipiac as well. So I do like the way that the arrow is turning, and they've been able to do a good job in the junior college market as well. When it comes to guys going from the D1 level to the non-D1 level, another one of these is Dana Quest. He last season was playing at Tennessee Tech, and during the 2020-21 season while at Tennessee Tech, was able to warrant right around 19 minutes per contest as primarily a defensive stopper with 4 points, 3 rebounds per game this last year. Only wound up putting up right around 2 points per contest, 6'6". Little bit of a combo player that needed to be a tad bit more versatile than he was. He has decided that he is going to be going down to Western New Mexico, so he is no longer at the D1 level. Neither is Sherwin Devenish. He was playing at Morgan State last season, and this one's a little bit more of a surprise, in my opinion. He was a starter for Morgan State for 4 years, actually got 99 total starts in 4 seasons. He did wind up seeing a dip in his scoring every single year, but was a good facilitator each of the last 2 years. 3.6 assists to right around 2 turnovers per contest. Shot 38% from 3-point range during the 2020-21 season. He's going down to Rogers State. Not saying that we should be seeing Devenish wind up going to like a Power 5 school or anything like that, but certainly had the skill to be able to play at the D1 level. He certainly showed that at Morgan State the last few seasons, but should be able to tear it up at Rogers State. He has decided that he is going to be going down to the D1 level. We did wind up seeing Davion Everett decide that he is going to be transferring away from Western Carolina, guy that last year wound up averaging right around 0.5 point per contest, so not necessarily a guy that you need to be concerned about. You want to have a little bit more concern when it comes to the SoCon about Furman and the fact that they are bringing back their top two players from last season. Both Jalen Slauson and Mike Bothwell were out there in the NBA draft process. Both guys on Friday decided that they are going to be returning to school. Big for each of them, as they wanted combining as a collective for a little bit over 30 points per contest. Bothwell, 15.7 points per contest. You wanted having Slauson just be really a Swiss Army knife guy for this team. 14.5 points, 7.5 rebounds, 3.7 assists, 1.7 steals, 1.7 blocks per game, while being able to shoot right around 31% from threes. He's 6'7" combo player. Bothwell, more of a designated three-point shooter at 36.5% from distance. Really, their designated shooter last year was Alex Hunter, who wound up taking 8 threes per contest, so he was a very big part of that team. Alex Hunter did wind up exhausting his 5th year, so he is going to be out of the fold. But that said, when it comes to Bothwell, you got to figure that he's going to be doing a good job of being able to facilitate the offense, as the three that I just mentioned, Bothwell, Slauson, Hunter, all between 3 and 3.7 assists per contest. You got to figure that the onus is going to be falling on Bothwell just a little bit more with regards to this offense. But you take a look at the SoCon, it is in good hands, and Bobby Ritchie has been able to do a tremendous job with this program. Getting back both of these guys should make Furman once again one of the best teams out there in that conference. And if Chattanooga does not wind up having just that massive shot that wound up getting hit in the SoCon final in overtime, by the way, who knows? They would be the team that would be going to the NCAA tournament, and we could be looking at this program all the more differently as well. And then we did wind up seeing a few other guys also decide to pull out of the NBA draft as well. Emmanuel Bandamel, who last week decided that he was going to be going to Nebraska, he has decided that he's going to be pulling out of the NBA draft. And I will say once again, every single one of these guys that has declared where they're going to be going in the transfer portal and also where in the NBA draft, every one of them has pulled out of the NBA draft. Until we wind up seeing otherwise, just assume that all these guys are going to be going to the schools where they say that they're going to be transferring to. But for Nebraska, still a big gap with regards to Bandamel, 10.5 points per contest. Needs to work on facilitating probably just a little bit more, because I felt like that was something that Nebraska was lacking last season. But shot 35.5% from 3-point range, should be a solid offensive player, and was a part of an SMU defense that they were sneaky okay last season. You could have used a little bit more of them, but Bandamel, relatively solid defender, so he should be a lot better than the Nebraska team. And then Quincy Guerrier, he decided that he is going to be pulling out the NBA draft as well. I know that one of our good friends over there at Heat Check CBB, who joined me a little bit earlier this week in Andy Dekoff, was very curious as to what was going to be happening with the Oregon guys. We still have question mark with regards to Will Richardson, but Guerrier is going to be coming back after he was a starter last season. 10 points, 5.5 rebounds per game, shot 32.5% from 3-point range as a little bit of a 6'7" combo player. And with regards to Guerrier, it was a little bit of a topsy-turvy season, was really able to hit his stride towards the back half of the season last year, but still, inconsistency was big with them. You take a look at the final 20 games of the season, had more like 11.5 points, 5.5 rebounds, a shot 36% from 3-point range. But you just take a look at, we're going to call it the final 7 games of the season. This is just the volatility that I'm talking about. 4 points, 15 points and 10 rebounds, 16 points, 8 points, 20, 25 and 13, and then the final two games, they combined 12 points. So you just didn't know what you were going to get out of Guerrier night in and night out. So that is something to take a look at there if he's able to rein it in, be a little bit more consistent, because they are bringing in Jermaine Cousinard to be able to help out that backcourt. They did wind up losing Eric Williams via the transfer portal. That wound up hurting them. And I mean, the fact that Eric Williams is going to be going to San Diego sort of speaks to how things wound up going for Oregon last season. But I do think that Cousinard is going to be able to help out that backcourt. I don't know if he's going to be able to help it out enough, especially if you don't wind up getting Will Richardson back in the fold for Oregon to wind up rising back up to prominence. But they also bring in Keyshawn Bartholomew. He should be able to help out with regards to that backcourt as well. Then we also did wind up seeing James Bishop decide to withdraw his name from the NBA draft, and he is going to be returning to school. He was able to put up some nice numbers while he was at George Washington, and he will be back with GW right around 16.5 points per contest, which honestly was a little bit of a dip from the previous season, in which we wound up having 19 points and 5 assists per contest during that 2020-21 season, but also during that 2020-21 season, 3.6 turnovers per game, and it's just a really a case of which the efficiency was out there. Bishop was able to put up those 16.5 points per game, but 14.8 field goal attempts per game. He wound up falling into a little bit of the trap in which a bad shot for him was better than a good shot for other guys, so that really hurt him over there at GW. We wound up seeing a coaching change. Jamion Christian wound up getting the boot there, so it's going to be interesting to see if this new system is going to be able to help him out a little bit more. I think that they're going to try to ease off of him just a little bit. So that is going to be something to take a look at. And Josh Minnett, he was a top 50 recruit from the class of 2021. He has decided that he is going to be staying in the NBA draft. He sort of figured that this was going to be the case, and he wound up having some flashes of brilliance with Memphis last season. Now, they bring in Kendrick Davis to be able to replace him in Memphis. They always do a great job with regards to being able to get in recruits, and they've done a relatively solid job with regards to the transfer portal. Obviously, when you wind up getting in Kendrick Davis, you don't need to do a whole heck of a lot else, but they also bring in Elijah McCadden. It's going to be a little bit more of a defensive stopper for the team. Minnett, though, at 6'8", really was able to become a little bit more of a focal point for the team towards, I guess you'd call it, conference play. You take a look at from January 1st all the way through, we're going to call it mid-February through February 15th, he was able to put up in that 12-game stretch right around 12 points, a little bit over a steal per contest, was really one of the lone guys that was keeping them afloat, and I felt like Penny Hardaway should have given him a couple more minutes. I liked what I saw from him. Then again, you do wind up having Jalen Duren, and that winds up becoming a little bit hard to be able to balance that, but I do think that Minnett has a chance to be relatively solid at the next level. I don't think that he's going to be any sort of like a NBA All-Star or anything like that, but certainly wish him nothing but the best. He has decided that he is going to be staying in the NBA draft. Jeremiah Kendall, he was playing this last season at Prairie View. He has decided that he is going to be going to Wagner, someone who is a native of the state of New York and wound up having some solid production last year, right around 6 points, 4 rebounds per game. He's out there in the SWAC conference, so certainly not a place in which you wound up having a lot of three-point shooting, and Wagner was one of the worst three-point shooting teams in all of college basketball. They're not looking for him to be able to really crank that up a little bit. 6'6" gentleman that doesn't really take a lot of threes, but was a part of a Prairie View team that has always been one of the best at being able to generate turnovers and being able to get steals, so that should be a very good fit for them, and hopefully this is a good fit as to what you're looking to get in college basketball. Right now, we're taking a look at all the movement that we're getting in, because we do have a lot of TBD pieces when it comes to this college basketball season. We're trying to sort things out with regards to rosters, and within the next few weeks, we should be getting a little bit more clarity, and that is going to lead to me being able to do my conference breakdowns. I always go with the smaller conferences first, since they wind up having the fewest moving parts, and then from there, diving into the power conferences. So if you do like what you're hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you've got a question, comment, segment idea, whatever you for this podcast, you've got one or two ways we will fire those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at GUnit_81. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please just send these into the timeline. And the other way is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Big thanks to Kevin Sweeney of the CBB Central Podcast, along with Sports Illustrated, for joining me in the last segment. Good to be coming at you guys every single day in the offseason, looking at the news and notes and conference previews for this upcoming season. And then once we get in season, picks and analysis on every single game, every single day. So I'll chat at you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
The At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.